So I'm just going to talk about obedience. Obedience. Obedience connects us to God's grace. Everything we have received in prayer, everything we have received through fasting, everything we've received from the Word of God, builds up to our obedience. There is a direct line of connection between man's needs here on earth and God's supply in heaven. There's a line of connection. Whatever you need here on earth, there is supply in heaven. And there is a line of connection. And that line of connection is traveled by obedience. Through obedience. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 19 and 20 says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. If you are willing and obedient. To be willing means to be prepared to do something. To be prepared to do something. To be obedient is to actually follow laid down rules. So God wants us to have a willing heart. In addition to the willing heart, He wants us to be obedient. Anytime we talk about obedience, it implies that there is an instruction. There is a command. There is a demand that we must respond to. And obedience is critical to everything that God wants us to do. For us to be obedient, there are a few things we have to be looking out for. First, we have to be sure of whether what we are obeying is God's voice. We have to be very sure. Is this God's voice? Is this what God is saying? Is this God's instruction? Is it just my own mind making up something? So that is very, very important. We have to be very sure that this is God's voice. This is God's instruction. Secondly, we have to be very clear of what He's saying. We have to be very clear. Yes, it is God's voice, but what is He really telling me? We have to be very clear of what He's saying. And thirdly, we have to be ready. What does He want me to do? We have to be sure. We have to be clear. We have to be ready. Now, God speaks to us in many ways. But He usually uses our own voice to speak to us. He uses our own mind to speak to us. He uses our own thoughts to speak to us. So when somebody says, God has spoken to me, or I have heard God speaking to me, that voice they heard, it was God using their own thought, their own mind to speak to them. So it's very important that when we are hearing God, we know that He's using our own thoughts to speak to us. And that is why you have to be able to separate your own thoughts from God's thoughts. So that what you are hearing has not been contaminated by your own thoughts and your own voice. We have to be sure, is this the voice of God? Because if it is the voice of God, you are guaranteed that if you obey it, you're going to get God's results. And am I very clear of what God is saying? And am I ready to do it? We'll look at a case study in the Bible of obedience. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 9 to 14. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 9 to 14. It's a story that many of you would have heard. if you went to Sunday school. How many of you went to Sunday school when you were kids? All right. Some of you are very bad from your youth. Thank God for grace. Thank God for grace. All right. But, you know, this story is in Sunday school, the story of Naaman. And his name was Naaman. And he did, and he did, and he did, and dip, and dip, and dip, and dip, and dip, and he came out home. Did you learn that song? Okay. All right. You're good Christians. 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 9, the story of Naaman. Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger saying to him, go wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you. You shall be clean. But Naaman became furious and went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not the Abana and Pharpa, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the rivers of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean? So he went down, dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored, like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Obedience is very important. There are 3 things I want you to note in this passage. First is specific action. Specific action. Go wash. Go wash. So 2 instructions there. One is go, the other is wash. You can obey go and not wash. I don't think you can wash it without going, but so there are 2 instructions that were given to him, specific action. He didn't say walk and jump. He didn't say run and laugh. He said go wash. Obedience requires that you follow the instruction explicitly. Specific actions. Go wash. Every miracle of God is tied to obedience. Every miracle of God. Jesus says to a man who is lying down, paralyzed, impotent, he says, rise up, take up your bed and go. That's the instruction. Obedience is what is going to produce the healing. The man could lie down and say, what do you mean, rise up? Go wash in the pool. Stretch out your hand. Roll out the stone. Check the miracles of Jesus. There is obedience. So there is something about your obedience that is directly related to what God wants to do in your life. And you don't choose to make the instruction yourself and obey it yourself. Go wash. Specific action. Secondly, there is specific location in the Jordan. God's instruction relates usually to specific people, specific places. Naaman was not just to go wash, but to go wash in a specific place, the Jordan. Specific action, specific location. And the 3rd thing we see is specific process. Specific process. There is specificity of the action, specificity of the location, specificity of the process. 7 times. That's the process. Go wash in the Jordan 7 times. Not 1, not 2, not 6, not 5, 7. So what is so special about 7? I don't know. But it's 7. Why didn't Elisha say 2 times or 1 time, but 7? Because that was the instruction. Go wash 7 times. Now, remember, this guy is an army general. He's not used to being given instructions. He's the one who gives instructions. So he expected that when he got to the door of Elisha, he'll be treated like an army general. He gives instruction. As a matter of fact, he wanted to tell Elisha how he should be healed. He said, "This is what I was expecting." You know, people who are so used to be in charge of their lives always want to determine the process for their benefit. They want to make the rules by themselves. Nobody tells them what to do. They want to make the rules. Stand up. No, I won't stand up. I'll sit down and do it. Come to the front. No, I'll stand wherever I am. And God is everywhere. He will do it anyhow. Yeah, God is everywhere, but he gave him specific instruction. Jesus put clay on somebody's eyes. Jesus is standing here. The man is sick in front of him. Jesus spits on the ground, makes clay, puts it on the man's eyes. What are you doing, Jesus? You are here. You can heal him. He puts the clay on the man's eyes and tells him, go and wash in the pool Siloam. Now, why doesn't he do it right here? That wasn't the instruction. Is the pool Siloam a blessed water? No. Is the clay a blessed clay? No. All that was needed was obedience. That's all. So he had to give him an instruction to obey, and in the obedience was his healing. So Naaman nearly missed it. First, he was looking for human honor. He said, I thought he would have come out to me and meet me and salute me and acknowledge that a general has come to church. Well, if you are a member of this church, I think you have come to notice by now that, you know, people don't mean too much by their rank in this place. We don't spend our time following people's titles. We don't do things just because somebody is a big shot. You just come in and sit and receive the word and go. We don't spend time saying so and so is here and so and so. When we have programs, we just have our program. The important person to attend is Jehovah. We don't go out of our way inviting people and so and so come and sit down. Because you see, spiritual things are spiritual. And you don't want to divert attention from what God is doing so that your flesh gets honor. Because sometimes in trying to seek your own honor, you miss God. And if there is anything I'm very particular about, is to make sure that you don't miss God and that he gets the honor and the glory wherever we are and whatever we do. So, if you come to this church and you are a famous, famous person, and there are very famous people in this church, but they are mixed out everywhere. Not that we don't recognize them. We recognize who they are. We acknowledge them. We celebrate them. But in the presence of God, the protocol is a bit different. It's a bit different. So, we are very careful about that. So if you come here looking for certain kinds of acknowledgments, this may not be the church you love. You come here and feel very offended and go back and say, nobody acknowledged me. Well, that was Naaman's problem. General Naaman, go wash. He said, what do you mean? I thought he would come out and meet me. Well, do you want healing or meeting? You know, because sometimes we forget what we are looking for. Are you looking for human acknowledgement? What are you really looking for? And then he says, well, I thought a man will come and meet me first. Give me the honor of my presence and meet me. I'm a general. We have colonized their nation anyway. We are superior to them. And then I thought he would come and wave his hand. In other words, I'm expecting some major spiritual drama. I think Naaman was an African, believe you me. This guy, if we go and check and check and check, he's a Ghanaian. I'm telling you. Because this guy says, you know, I thought he would come and wave his hand. In other words, you know, I thought he would come and wave his hand. Because, you know, Africans, they don't like simple instruction. They want, do something. I've caught your spirit and released it. He said, I thought he would come and wave his hand and do some drama. Do some ritual. And then he asked the most ridiculous question. Isn't the water, Pharpa and Abana, the rivers better than Jordan? And for your information, Jordan was almost always muddy. It's as if people, you know, do galamsey in the Jordan. It's always muddy. It's not a clean river, muddy river. So he's saying, I mean, if it's dipping in water, I have better stuff. But see, really, it's not about a Jordan. Jordan is not a special water, just a river. The important thing is obedience. Why is obedience so important? Because it speaks of submission. The reason why obedience is important is because it speaks of submission. When you obey God, you have submitted to Him. You have bowed to Him. You have made yourself small so He can make you big. Everything you are going to experience from now on is going to be linked to obedience. It's going to be linked to obedience. And many times God will give you specific instructions. Do this, do that, do that. And sometimes you feel it so deeply in your heart. You know, I must do this. You know, it's not your own voice. Because if it was you, you wouldn't give that instruction to yourself. You give yourself an easier instruction. If, for example, you hear, you are in the service right now, and I just pray you hear this voice. But I'm suggesting, should you ever hear this voice, that give $1 million. Father, please, let somebody hear that. All right. Now, just, I'm joking. But I'm not joking, but I'm joking. I'm serious. All right. So let's just say that you heard, sign, give $1 million away. I mean, that's not instruction you give yourself. Because you, if it was yourself, you would just say maybe 100 cedis or $1,000. That's a convenient instruction you give yourself. So when it's $1 million, it's not you. And somebody just heard it right now. It's not you, it's God. All right. So if God tells you that, do that. It may be the most difficult thing to do, but your miracle is tied to obedience. Otherwise, all the prayer is useless. Abraham had been praying for his wife, Sarah, to have a child. Prayed. And as a matter of fact, God sent an angel to come and tell him next year about this time, Sarah is going to have a child. But then, there is an act of obedience where God says to Abraham to pray for the wives of Abimelech because of what they did to Sarah. This is somebody who has offended him and his wife. And legally, he is supposed to hate them. But God says, pray for Abimelech's wife that they will have children. Now, whose wife needs children? My wife. Whom should I pray for? Abimelech's children. Abimelech, who wanted to steal my wife? But that was his point of obedience. Now, if you hear instruction to pray for your enemy's wife to have children, and your own wife has no children, believe you me, it's not you. Because if it was you, you would never give yourself that instruction. That's God. So Abraham prays for Abimelech's wives. They start having children, or they get pregnant, and his wife also gets pregnant. God visits Job and says, I'm restoring everything to you, but pray for those who were mocking you. Pray for them. Job would have said, Father, I like the blessing, but these guys, may you punish them and kill them. But that miracle that God has decreed was tied to obedience. The issue is not just the people he must pray for. The issue is that he's ready to do something that is so much against his natural instinct. But because he knows it's from God, he does it. And in his obedience, his wealth is restored to him. Everybody's miracle is tied to obedience. Just check through the Bible. Obedience is critical to what God wants to do in our lives. Now, why am I preaching obedience? Because we've had an awesome time in the presence of God. One of the important messages that was preached during the 40 days of power was Pastor Ransford Obing preaching about doing the will of God or walking in the will of God. And he talked about Jesus, that Jesus prayed constantly so that every action he took would be in the will of God. That's obedience. The book of Hebrews says that he learned obedience through suffering. The first miracle of Jesus in the wedding of Cana, his mother says to the disciples and the people around him, whatever he tells you to do, do it. So I came here just this morning to tell you, when God instructs you, obey him. If he tells you to pray for somebody and you hate the person with all your guts, pray for him. If he tells you to go to somebody and forgive him, forgive that person. If he tells you to take something, a seed, and sow in somebody's life and you hate the person with all your heart, do it. Because that act of obedience is the key to the release of every promise of God in your life. Amen. Every act of obedience may sound ridiculous. You've been here for 38 years. The next instruction is, rise up, take up your bed and walk. You will look at the guy who gave the instruction and says, do you know what you are talking about? We are talking about being here all my life. If you think it was easy to rise up, take up my bed, don't you think I would have taken up my bed long time ago? Roll the stone, but he stinks. Roll it anyway. What is God telling you to do? What is He speaking into your heart? You've tried to shake it, you can't shake it. You've tried to argue the voice, it never goes away. You try to fight it, it is still there. Don't you think it's time just for you to obey? Trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy with Jesus but to trust and obey. Obedience. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. So let's just spend a few moments praying and just talk to God and ask Him to make us willing and obedient. Just rise up on your feet, everybody, as we pray. If you're willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. Just lift up your hands in a sign of surrender to God and just say, Lord, ask Him to help you to be obedient. Obedience is not easy for anybody. It's hard for me. Even for Jesus, obedience was tough. He says, Father, if it is your will, let this cup pass over me, because obedience is always difficult. But we want to be willing and obedient. So just talk to the Lord and just say, Lord, help me to be willing and obedient, that whatever you tell me to do, I will do it. I will follow your instruction. I will obey your command. I yield my heart to you, my will to you. I submit to you, Lord. Is there a habit that God wants you to stop? Obey God. Is there something that God wants you to start doing? Obey Him. Is there a step of faith He wants you to take? We pray, Father, this morning that You touch our hearts in a very special way. That in this season of harvest, in this season of the portals of heaven open over us, in this season of active angelic movement in our lives, active angelic movement in our homes, in our businesses, in everything that we do, we sense active spiritual movement taking place all around us. Help us, Lord, to be obedient, to connect to your agenda. And in our obedience, we receive the benefit, the fruit of obedience. In the name of Jesus, we eat the good of the land. We possess the wealth of the nations. We decree, Lord, that this is our season for active spiritual powers awakened and alive on our behalf. In the name of Jesus, let there be loads of miracles, signs, and wonders. Supernatural activity beyond our expectation. Shut the mouth of lions. Quench the fires, Lord. Remove the dark clouds, Lord. In the name of Jesus, give us victory over every enemy, over every attack, over every limitation. In the name of Jesus, what you have in your hand will multiply beyond what you can contain. From today, you have passed from defeat to success. You have passed from poverty to prosperity. You have passed from sickness to health. You have passed from limitation to abundance. In the name of Jesus. And every act of obedience that is linked to this transition in your life, may God give you the willingness to do it and the obedience toward Him. And may your harvest be complete, that you will have basketfuls of the goodness of God. Your cup will overflow. Your table will be furnished in the presence of your trouble. Your table will be furnished. I decree over your life, you are going to win You are going to rise up. You are going to succeed. You will be the head and not the tail. You will abound in every good thing. In Jesus' name, amen. Somebody say, I've got it.